Welcome to We the People Radio, talking about infiltration and zombies and such. Moving into your neighborhood, taking over your mind, body, and soul.
We just call them the government.
There you go. Same thing. You are joining Elizabeth
every show's
Woodward,
about them.
Aaron Ryan, and our engineer Bob Martin on We the People Radio every Sunday from 8 to 10 a.m. at KCNR 1460 Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. And we are streaming
Bob
and chatting
can't talk
live
this morning, though, because we gave him a heart attack. We were so late.
Yeah. We're streaming and chatting live at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Check out the webpage. You will find everything about today's guest and links to every single show we've done for the past 2 years. Right, Bob?
I'm sitting there trying to think, did they set their clocks ahead an hour instead of back an hour? No, wait.
Aaron and I now have a running competition to see who can get here last.
I wasn't really trying to do that.
I wasn't either. I had to go back home twice because I just kept forgetting everything.
And
this
you still
morning.
Forgot your computer?
And I got up at 5:30.
What?
Well, it was one of those mornings where I decided it would be a good morning to get a lot of stuff done. And so I drove back home twice, and my husband saw me coming and was standing at the gate wondering why I was coming back.
He wasn't standing there with the coffee or the whatever?
No.
He didn't know he forgot. Dan, she needs her computer.
You should have been standing there with a computer.
So anyway, so we slid into our seats at the very last minute again, and poor Bob was standing outside looking in both directions, hoping that one of us would show up.
So what happens if the people don't show up?
I'm going to start without you.
Well, what happens if, like, what would happen if the people don't show up? Do you?
Welcome to We the People with Bob Martin.
I'm taking over.
Did you like pray for people to call you and stuff?
It's all about them. So if you are tuning in for the first time, We the People Radio is about fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution, and pretty much anything that falls under that umbrella, which I think is just about everything.
And
these
goofing
days.
And goofing off.
Yeah.
Because you know what? These are serious times.
They are.
Everything, you know, there's just a lot of serious stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And you can get pretty depressed if you focus on it too much. And it's not like you can ignore it, but you can have fun with it.
You can ignore it, actually, if you watch CBS, NBC, or ABC, because they're not covering, like, Benghazi.
No.
They've managed to somehow, like...
Yeah, they gave the president a pass.
Yeah, they found that not newsworthy. So
yeah. Now he will.
You're being far too kind. They're helping him cover it up.
There you go.
Oh yeah, that's.
I love how they didn't have a problem leaving our military behind, but you know, heaven forbid we should leave anybody in the Northeast behind. You know,
yeah, except for the people there are totally irritated because everything that's coming out of there is, hello, a lot of people with suits and clipboards, nothing happening.
Yeah. Well, hey.
Big shock.
Know, what were you expecting? To be rescued, taken care of?
It was interesting because we're clearing out our storage unit, and it's kind of like, well, we're not going to need, gosh, those people in New York could have used that. You know, maybe we are going to need that. Okay, forget it. Okay, let's keep that.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes you look at your stuff differently.
Uh-huh. It does. You get rid of, you know, and it's funny because I think a lot of people are getting rid of the fluff, but they're getting down to the nitty gritty and keeping things that are really practical.
Yeah, but you start looking at some things and you go, well, we're not going to need, well, those guys could have used that because, you know, propane canisters and stuff like that. And you think, well,
keep it.
We should hang
And, you know, my heart goes out to them. I was reading about them this morning and they're just... beside themselves because some of them could have been prepared with food, water, and gas. But when your house floods or burns down, a lot of good that does you. I mean, you can have all the preparation in the world, but some catastrophic events wipe that out.
Exactly. That's where you need to have friends in other parts of the country.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you know, you have to abandon ship. It's tough because if you are prepared, it's all right there at your house. I mean, you're not typically prepared everywhere else.
No, of course not. You can't be.
But, ugly.
What happens if you're not home when the disaster hits, though? Of course, you had people stuck in Manhattan for days who couldn't get out to the suburbs where they lived.
Mm-hmm.
They were having to, if they were lucky enough to be able to afford it, to stay in motels in Manhattan. I mean, hotels in Manhattan.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and that's heinous. I mean, that's big bucks. And then the Germans came over to do the marathon. I was listening to that yesterday. Yeah. All my news is really higgledy-piggledy because of just schedule and stuff like that. So I'm catching bits and pieces. And so yesterday was all about the marathon.
I'm glad they canceled it. That would have been
people were like, why? Why? Why are they doing
that? That would have been a slap in the face. Well, I guess a lot of the runners had reservations at hotels, and they got bumped for the people that who had lost their homes.
200 people that came here from Germany?
Yeah, probably so.
I guess they didn't watch the news at all. Mm-mm. They already had the flights. They figured, oh, we're just running around in the streets. It won't be a big deal. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure what comes through my butt. Yeah. Then on the other hand, as we're driving home, I'm thinking, gosh, to qualify for the New York Marathon, my brother-in-law did he do New York or Boston?
I did Boston twice.
Yeah, my brother-in-law did one or the other. I think he did New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big deal. There's a ton of training.
It isn't
like you all of a sudden go, well, I think I'm going to go run a marathon.
You train for months, and then and there's, you know, pretty fair expense involved.
Absolutely. And, you know, huge scheduling mm-hmm. changes. I mean, you know, it's a long way, and, you know, you've got to travel, and you've got your tickets way in advance because obviously you know when it is. And
yeah, exactly.
Surprise!
Yeah.
Big wind, lots of weather.
So it's a big couple of days coming up, elections on Tuesday, and we're going to take a slight detour today and talk about what America could look like in the future for your grandchildren if this election doesn't go the way we're hoping. And our guest today, Don Jans, has written a book called My Grandchildren's America, but he's also spent years studying Marxism. So I'm really anxious to hear.
Oh, but that doesn't apply to anything we have going on here.
It totally does.
Just kidding.
Totally does.
I'm just messing with you. I was just being the left.
Did you notice this morning lots of articles about Siskiyou County and defending rural America?
No.
Three articles on Sheriff John Lopey.
Really? In our paper?
In our newspaper.
That's right, because you're up at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you could do that.
Three articles.
And why?
I don't know why, but one of them focused on the issues that they're facing in Siskiyou County. The other focused on his lifetime of public service. And another, now you may have known this, but Sheriff John Lopey has established a foundation in his name. He takes his salary as the sheriff of Siskiyou County, runs it through the foundation, and takes that money and gives it to the families who have lost officers in the line of duty. He focuses on funding a lot of community activities, and so he takes his whole salary, runs it through the foundation, and gives it back to the community.
Yeah, got a lot of people doing that these days.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all kinds of them.
Tons.
Yeah,
that's really popular.
How come he's the only one I've ever heard of?
Yeah, except for Mitt Romney, actually.
Yeah.
Worked as the governor for free.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of people, and even in our own community, in our own community, who are on their second or third public service job. And so while they're receiving retirement from the previous public service job, they're getting a nice salary on the current one.
And then a retirement from that.
And I'm hoping some of those folks are, A, listening, or B, doing the same thing that Sheriff John Lopey is doing.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
But see, he's all about the people. I mean, he took the job because he was bored.
He didn't have to.
No, I mean, it's a really hard job. It's a really tough time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. And Siskiyou County is really, really under the gun.
They really are. In a lot of
ways.
That's
very cool.
In a lot of ways.
And they didn't slam him or anything?
No, they were written pretty well. You know, one of the articles that talked about defending rural America, of course, the environmental wackos jumped into that article and said that he didn't care about the environment at all, at which point he countered back, nobody knows or understands or cares about the environment more than people that are working it and living off of it. He said most of these environmentalists have never even been to Siskiyou County.
Well, most of them live in apartments in the city.
Yeah.
And they watch it on National Geographic or whatever it is they do. But no, they don't. These guys have been on this land for
generations.
100, 150 years.
And you think that they, if it's so beautiful up there, clearly the environmentalists must think that it is incredible in Siskiyou County enough that they want to protect it. So who do you think's been taking care of it all this time?
Mm-hmm. And if,
you know, their
and
logic,
if they ruin it,
they defy logic completely.
Well, and if they ruin it, there's no future for themselves or for their kids or their grandkids.
Right.
I mean, their family businesses as ranchers and farmers stops.
Sure.
So, they have a vested interest. You know, it's always interesting to me, though, to go to meetings where there are agency people there. And I've had ranchers and farmers ask, how many of you live on a working farm?
Right.
zero.
Yeah.
How many of you work, you know, live on a working cattle ranch or have sheep or something, you know, have livestock?
Zero.
Zero. And yet they're telling them, this is what works, that's what works, that's what...
And, they, and how do they know that when they've never done it themselves?
Because they read it in a book, and they made it up at some meeting, and these guys look at me, and they're like, I don't get it.
And it's just...
How
so,
are we ever going to get through to these people who have no idea?
It's offensive.
It is offensive. Well, and most of it's bad for the land. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're little fish counting, you know, video weir. Basically a dam across the whole river with a 6-inch slot that the fish has to swim through. Now here you got a 40-foot, say, I'm just trying to remember from last year. I haven't seen the current stats, but it's about 40 feet across, so it's a wall in the river. Well, the fish can't get past it. They've got to go through this little hole that's got a light in it that's probably warmer water because of the light, and that's the only way they can count the fish? I mean, it's just silly.
Yeah.
And they're worried about, you know, dams and this and that and the other impeding fish passage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're worried about the farmers irrigating their crops and impeding fish passage.
Oh, speaking of fish, PETA, you know, people eating tasty animals, they wanted to do a memorial.
Love those guys.
Wanted to do a memorial along the highway. Where was that? Somewhere in California, where fish died because they were being transported and there was an accident. And so the fish fell out of the truck and they died. And so PETA wanted to put up a memorial to all the fish that died in a terrible, horrific accident along the highway.
I don't even know, and they wonder
why nobody takes them seriously.
I don't even know what to say to that. But the thing is, they do take them seriously. Those guys have a lot of clout. They really do.
But the general public, not so much.
Not so much, but they've got a ton of money. They're very much entwined with the Humane Society of the United States. So, you know, you move from... I guess the trend, remember from Diane being on here, she said they move from, you know, kind of environmental causes, and then when they kind of go whoop over the edge, they go to PETA and they go to, you know, HSUS. So, yes, that fits. Super fits.
All right.
So we better go to a quick break and then come back. We, hold on
here. We should probably. You're joining We the People Radio at... KCNR 1460.
What are you, hogging up my spot?
I'm sorry.
Look at Elizabeth. She got up early. She thinks she's everybody. Bob, hold on to the buttons over there. She's going to be you in a minute.
See how long these arms are? They can reach.
We're going to be right back in 2 minutes.
We're about to play a song with the word damn in it.
Nice.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but
welcome back. Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. Now that we've dispensed with the frivolity and the chit-chat for the first 15 minutes, I'm sure we've gotten y'all warmed up, right?
We forgot to tell you about the proposition.
Who said we've dispensed with the frivolity?
I'm not over it yet. Mutiny!
We'll throw it in periodically throughout the show. But yeah, maybe on the next break we can chat about propositions.
We do need to fire out the propositions. Yes, okay. I'm 32. Yes, I'm 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, despite those people on the freeway overpasses that are misguided.
I didn't see them the other night.
We need some yes on 32s on the freeway
overpasses.
So
for you people who are inclined to just vote no on everything, don't.
Don't do that.
Pay attention to us here.
Yeah, do what we say.
Pay attention to something.
Okay, so...
All right, talk about Don.
We're going to talk to Don Jans. He, I'm assuming, is a grandfather because he wrote a book called My Grandchildren's America, which is available at Amazon.
You're like Sherlock Holmes.
Aren't I something?
Go, Watson.
And Don's done a lifetime of study on Marxism, which I'm really interested in hearing. And I think that I'll let him tell us a little bit about himself. And Bob, is Don on the line?
Don is on the line.
Don, good morning. Thanks for...
good morning, Elizabeth. Glad to be with you.
Thanks for hanging in there with us while we do our little comedy routine first thing in the morning.
It was fun. Very enlightening. Thank you.
Great. So, Don.
Very frightening or enlightening?
Enlightening.
little of both. So, Don.
He learned a lot about us he didn't know.
It's the Halloween season.
There you go.
Frightening is still cool.
There you go. Hey, so what do you think about the election coming up on Tuesday? What's your pulse tell you?
Well, when you read the standard poll, you would say it was going to be very, very close, correct?
Right. That's what they're telling us.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're telling us. But we have to remember who's telling us.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny. That's what I always say.
You always have to say who wrote the article.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always write from a prejudiced viewpoint. When you delve into the numbers, from what I understand, and I'm not a pollster, but from what I understand is those people who want this to look like a close election are using the turnout from 2008. And if you anticipate a very heavy Democratic turnout again, I guess the polls are close. But if you get a more normal turnout, it appears that Romney should win 300 electoral votes to anywhere from 3 to 7 points. Popular vote is what I understand. Of course, we just don't know who's actually going to go to the polls.
We know who we want to go to the polls.
Well, and
we
it
want
just,
people who pay attention to go to the polls.
You know, even in our Shasta County.
We want people who are legally registered to vote to go to the polls.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That's true. Let's start
Wouldn't
there.
Wouldn't that be nice? Now, interestingly, Karl Marx talked a great deal about suffrage and voting. And he said that it's very critical in order to install a society based on classless, share the wealth, all those types of things that we hear, you have to have universal suffrage, even to the point where perhaps some people who have left us and died and gone on come back for that day to vote.
Jeez.
And so this is universal suffrage. People want free things. And rather than saying, hey, you have to be qualified to vote, no, they say, you just go to the polls and we'll give you free things and you vote for it.
Hmm. Nice.
If you've got
though.
If you've got a pulse and you want a pizza, you're good to go.
No, uh-huh. Cell phones are popular now, I hear.
Yeah.
Aren't they, especially in Cleveland?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was totally thinking the same thing.
Hey, so Don, what's your history and your background on all of the study that you've done on Marxism?
Well, I was one of those weird kids that rather than read a novel, I would read a biography about some history person,
mm-hmm.
historic person, and so I have been studying history forever. And I love Russian history, and with the study of Russian history, you always come up to that point in time where you had the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks revolting. And so it takes you right into Marxism because Lenin believed he was a Marxist. And so when you get to that point, you have to start studying Marx to find out what Lenin really thought he was. And so when I started to study Marx, I found it to be very intriguing. And, of course, as you really study him and you get away from all of the popular thoughts of what communism is and what Marxism is, and you get into what he really taught, you find out that what has been happening in the United States really since at least 1913 is a movement towards a Marxist society.
Now, how closely are communism and Marxism aligned?
In today's thoughts, they're very, 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 they're widely spread. And today's thought, the way people think of communism today is not at all close to Marxism. But Marx was, in 1848, a communist. He was a member of the Communist Party. It was a completely different, just like the Democratic Party today, is not what it was mm-hmm. when Kennedy was elected.
Yeah, totally
and
different.
So, communism now in today's when I do my polling and I talk to different people, when you say what is communism, I could ask you right now, Elizabeth, what does communism mean?
Well, and I guess my idea about communism is total control of the people and basically the people entirely working for a very elite and small government.
And this is very common, people will take communism and attune it to some type of a government control, and it's not government. Communism, as Marx taught it, is really a more of an economic and a social system and not a governmental system. And in today's world, people will relate communism to Stalin, who was not a communist at all, to Stalin, Lenin, who set up the framework for Stalin to have the type of society and government he had established, and then Mao and all of these people who have become tyranny and dictators, etc. And that's not what communism truly is, according to what Marx said.
Well, communism in real life, I mean, in a perfect world, communism really can't happen. I mean, there's never really been true communism, because if there was, there would be no inequity.
That's correct. So let's define what Marx taught, what Marx said communism really was, or what I would refer to as Marxism today. There's two basic elements. The first is that all productive property, when I say productive property, I mean land for rent or land that produces, things that produce income, buildings. As Obama would say, build businesses that you did not build. All of these types of things that produce income, that produce, they would all be owned by the state, by the people, by the government. So all productive property would be owned by the government. All proceeds would go to the government. And then the government would give out those proceeds as it deemed necessary. If you work, I work, we would all receive the same thing, not equally, but based on our needs, how large our family was, what other needs we had. And then Marx says that this works because our DNA, the way we think, our personality would change in that we would want to produce as much as we could for the glory of the state and not to put into our own pocket.
And that just isn't going to happen.
We're not wired that way.
No. I mean, you're dealing with human nature. You can't change human nature.
Yeah. And it's never worked.
It's never worked.
It's never been any place where people say, oh, I want to go out and I want to work 20 or 12 hours a day, produce as much as I can so that I can share it with my guy, with my buddy who stays home all day.
So, okay, do you think that Obama is a Marxist?
Yes.
Okay, so with Marxism, everyone works to produce for the state, and then the state doles out the results of that labor as they deem necessary. Do all of these folks that are not working, that are receiving government subsidies, handouts, social programs, do they understand that if we were to result in true Marxism, that they would actually have to go to work?
No. They think it's like rain and their means of living will fall from the sky.
What happens
That's
to
realistic.
Those? So what happens in a society with that percentage of people that are receiving some kind of government handout subsidy program when either the gravy train stops or they are required to go to work? What literally happens to those people?
The people that are required to go to work?
And we're on a handout situation before that.
If you're forced to, you will go, but you're just not a productive person, and you still remain a drain on society. Let me go back and give you a very, very specific example. Loving history and having studied history, when we study it, what we realize is that nothing new ever happened. That if we want to find out what the future is going to bring, all we have to do is go back and look into history and see what has happened in the past, because we as human nature just do this. When Lenin took control in then Russia, not the Soviet Union, but then Russia, they had this idea that what we're going to do is the government will control all of the property, all the land, and all of the farmers, the peasants, would go out and they would produce, and then we, the government, would go and we would take all of their grain from them and we would give it back as we saw necessary, and we would give the grain to whomever else we thought we should give it to. And the production just went down, 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 and down until finally Lenin listened to what Trotsky said, and he said, this is not working. What we have to do is we have to allow the farmer to keep 50% of what he produces and do with it as he wants. And we will take the 50%. And when they did that, all of a sudden the production just went up, 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 and up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just the basic nature of human beings.
You know, I was reading a true story, about North and South Korea, when North Korea took over South Korea, mm-hmm. and they they put a lot of the people to work, just like you're describing, and, you know, people with ingenuity being as they are, there was one small farmer in particular who would grow healthy crops, keep the food for his own family, and then tell the state workers that it had been a bad year for those particular crops and that they didn't produce anywhere near what he had hoped they would. Mm-hmm. People find ways around it.
Absolutely, they do. And grain finds ways under floors, and grain finds ways into caves, perhaps. But they do find a way around it. People are, they've always done that, and they always will.
Mm-hmm. Now, So, your book, tell us a little bit about your book, My Grandchildren's America.
First of all, My Grandchildren's America, people say, Don, how did you ever come up with that name? And I wanted to call it Fundamental Transformation of America. Dynamic name, right?
Yeah, I love the one you picked.
Well, people said, Don, if you call it Fundamental Transformation of America, nobody's ever going to read it.
They'll think, well, isn't that somebody else said that they were going to fundamentally transform America, didn't they, when they were running for
Obama.
And we're hoping to put that in the Hope and Change trash can.
Yes, Obama said it. At least he said it 5 days before the election. But in looking at it, I was talking with my daughter and her family, and my oldest granddaughter came up and said, well, Papa, why don't you call it My Grandchildren's America? You're talking about me now. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden the light went on, and I said, out of the mouth of a babe comes the truth.
Oh, isn't that nice?
That's how the name came about for my granddaughter.
Isn't that nice? How old was she at the time?
She was 8 at the time.
Pretty good.
Yes, yes. Of course, they're very precocious.
Of course, of course.
So what I did, Elizabeth, is I've been interested in this topic long before Obama. And I've been asking people and talking to people, and of course they say, oh, Don, you're getting boring again. But asking them, when I say the word socialism to you, what does it mean? When I say the word Marxism to you, what does it mean? When I say the word communism to you, what does it mean? And what I learned is that there is no common definition, at least in the people I ask, there's just no common definition in any of it. The definitions are so widespread.
And they usually overlap, and a lot of times, if you ask them the difference between the two, people think they're exactly the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And communism always was defined somehow with tyrannism. Always tyranny. So what I did is, listening to people talking about it on the radio, listening to a lot of the pundits, even reading about it, where people will say, oh, this is communistic, this is socialistic, they never use Marxism. Communistic or socialistic, but they never define what they mean.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became very apparent to me that when we are talking about it, I might be talking about communism, you are talking about communism with me, and in our minds we're thinking about something completely different.
Yeah, good point. Hey, so when we come back from our break...
Stop horning in on my job.
I know. maybe
we
can
go
into.
We're gonna have a little fight over here.
Maybe we can go into detailed descriptions of all three.
That would be good.
Yeah,
yeah.
When we come back
from the break, so that at least some of the people out there can stop thinking they're all the same. We'll start a new trend. Okay, so go ahead, Elizabeth.
No,
what were you gonna say?
No, Aaron.
Oh, Bob started the music. Hold on, we have to. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
I'm blaming this on the time change.
Build that.
We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
Somebody else made that happen.
We built this city on rock and roll.
If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we have that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Say you don't know me.
Someone else went to work so that you could have those food stamps. Someone else is working. Somebody else is working to give you all your freebies. And you are joining We the People Radio with Aaron, Elizabeth, Bob, and our host, or and our guest. I'm sorry, we're the host. He's the guest. Don Jans.
Oh, Don, go ahead. Be the host. What the heck?
Does that mean I'm that pushy?
Take the wheel. Drive it wherever you want.
Author of My Grandchildren's America. Check out his website at mygrandchildrensamerica.com. You've got articles that you've written. And one of those is on the wethepeopleradio.us webpage. So follow along while we're talking with Don.
And those of you who know correct grammar, there's no apostrophe in the web address.
What did I say?
Correct. No, well, it's My Grandchildren's America, so there should be an apostrophe. So, you know, for those people who are easily, easily misled, drop the apostrophe. This is your chance to break the rules.
Okay, Don, so give us a detailed definition of communism, Marxism, and socialism so that we know the difference when we're talking and we can, synchronize our minds.
Okay, let's start with socialism. If I ask any one of you right now to give me a definition of socialism, or anybody in the listening audience to give me their definition of socialism, we would get answers that were extremely widespread.
Go chat
room. Our answers could be could deal just with the attitude of one person being congenial to another person, on up to some strict government control of some kind. Socialism. The kind that Marx understood, and Marx said many times, he said, I'm not a socialist. And people don't understand that. But Marx understood what socialism was. Socialism is true spreading the wealth, sharing of everything, to the point where when Hillary Clinton said it takes a village to raise a child, she was speaking from a socialistic standpoint where, in fact, you probably did not totally know who the father might be. Everything was shared. You went to work.
Including the father?
Many times the fathers were shared, yes. They weren't aware of who the father might be.
Ew.
That's just nasty.
They were these communities where you lived in a total community. There were classes in those communities, however, where you did have leaders and you had the workers and other people. So you didn't talk about a classless society. Marxism or communism was different in that Marx understood that you do have definitions of family. In fact, he and his wife at one point in time did live in a quasi-socialistic situation that they didn't participate in completely, but they did not like it, and they moved out. And that's where Marx said, no, this is not good. And so you do have private ownership of your immediate needs, your clothes, your kitchen, your food, even to a certain point, your living quarters. And you didn't share absolutely everything. The difference, that's one difference. The other difference is that in Marxism, he says it's truly a classless society, that everybody is equal politically, socially, and economically. There is no class distinction at
all. Is there an elite group of people under Marxism?
There is, theoretically, and we have to remember he was speaking in theory, because that's what academics do. They always speak in theory. They can't speak in practicality. And so when he was speaking in theory, he said there is absolutely no distinction. There is no class structure at all, including any government.
Well, how does a society manage itself? I mean, you have to have some boundaries. You do have to have some
rules. That's where you leave the classroom.
Yeah.
Marx talked about that very, very briefly. Now, Marx, we have to, and I'm getting pretty technical here, so just bear
That's
with
okay.
me
it's
for
good.
A minute. Bear with me for a minute. Marx was a disciple, or he studied a philosopher by the name of George Hegel. You may have heard of Hegel.
Mm-hmm.
Hegel believed that everything over time becomes more and more perfected, including mankind. And so that at some point in time, man will eventually become, as Hegel said, one with the absolute spirit. In other words, we are truly going to be in a utopia. where everybody is wonderful. Everybody is kind. Everybody does just what they're supposed to do. Now, man has never changed. If we go back and we look at man, back even in the days of the Greeks, you see that you still had all the same problems between human beings as we have today. We've always had those because people are people. But Hegel indoctrinated Marx to believe that man could become this perfect being. And that's where the fallacy comes in, to the point where Marx never really defined a form of a government, because he believed that you wouldn't truly need any type of restrictions on people. Everybody would react properly.
That's just naive.
It's academic. Remember, Marx was an academic, and if you talk and you listen to academics today, when they're dealing in theory, just like you were talking earlier about the PETA, they're academics. They deal in an academic world. They don't deal in a real world, and they have no idea how the real world functions.
And therein lies the problem with our educational system.
Absolutely. And Marx stated that in order to bring this classless society, this stateless, or classless being, you have to control the educational system. He was very, 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 very outspoken about the educational system. Herein lies our problem. If we go back to a philosopher, a Prussian philosopher by the name of Immanuel Kant, he wrote a quote that is so, so critical. And I just want to go over that with us so we understand it. First of all, we talk about what enlightenment is. Enlightenment is you and me thinking for ourselves, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He says enlightenment, it's the difference between us thinking for ourselves and us relying on what other people teach us, which he calls self-imposed tutelage. So if we talk about enlightenment, we're thinking about ourselves. If we talk about self-imposed tutelage, other people are telling us how to think.
Mm.
He said, those people who rely on self-imposed tutelage, or in other words, those people who rely on others telling them how to think, we can excuse them if they are intellectually insufficient to think for themselves. People like Pelosi, people like me, people like Biden.
I was like, we excuse them all the time. We just can't get them out of office.
It was time for a little humor. Thank you for that.
They don't have the ability to think for themselves.
No.
So they have to rely on other people. But those people like you, like me, if we rely on what other people teach us, then we are truly at fault because we strictly lack the will and the courage to think for ourselves. Most people employ self-imposed tutelage because they don't want to think for themselves. It's a lot of work.
Well, and aren't they training children from the get-go to not think for themselves? Isn't that, you know, the K through 12 system?
Yes. We don't teach, we teach kids by rote. We don't teach them to reason and think.
Okay, so we've covered socialism and Marxism. So to summarize, socialism is basically a society where everything is shared.
Yes.
Including possibly your husband,
and maybe we don't even have husbands.
Oh yeah, there you go. No father figures.
Well,
look at
where they want to go.
Yeah.
You know, look at what they want now. They passed a bill in California where kids could have more than two parents legally.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
So you know who's writing this stuff? You know, I do believe they hearken back to another time, eh?
And is it safe to say that in our state and federal legislatures, that a good part of the bills that are written and passed are in theory? And that's why a lot of times they don't work?
Let me help you. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, the governor didn't sign that bill. For all you people who just had a heart attack, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I wondered about that. Yeah,
he
two
didn't.
Parents only.
I did follow that, and he didn't sign it. But they passed it. It passed through the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, this is... With the state of affairs in California, that's the kind of things they're doing. So obviously they're working in total theory, Because if you were dealing with reality, you'd know there were a ton of people unemployed and a lot of, you know.
Well, and this is why I think people are so excited to put individuals into office that come from the private sector, like a farmer or somebody that's been in business that has come up through the trenches in a real practical way. People get very excited over those candidates because they don't come from an academic standpoint. They actually come from a place where they know what actually works and what doesn't.
Elizabeth, well, remember you mentioned a little earlier that I had an article, that you'd posted an article mm-hmm. on the website?
Yeah.
Okay. In that article, I talk specifically about that. When you look at what happens, When you have business people appointed into government, whether they're appointed or whether they're elected into government, you get a more practical government. But when you have academics, you get a more theoretical government. Let's look at who Obama has appointed. They all come from the academic world.
Yeah, and isn't it true that Obama has the smallest percentage of private sector appointees in the nation's history? I think it's like 8% of his cabinet comes from the private sector, and I believe the next lowest percentage was 20.
I don't know something
along those lines.
Yeah, but look at how they think.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the Dodd-Frank bill did, and we had two people that have never worked in the private sector that were in charge of that, Dodd and Frank. And look at human resources. It's all theory.
Yeah, but Dodd and Frank had more problems than that. Just the fact that they didn't work in private sector. I think operating in reality should be part of the litmus test as well. Hey, Don, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Don Jans, My Grandchildren's America, help me out, .com.
Yes.
If you guys want to read up on that, we'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Don't give up on us, baby. Don't make that wrong.
It seems no one can help me now. I'm in too deep. There's no way out. This time I have really led myself astray. Runaway train.
We're back. We're about 6 minutes away from a hard news break at the top of the hour. And so before we go there.
We have fair warning.
Yeah, we're going to let Don Jans jump in real quick. How do you want to wind up the first hour, Don?
Well, what I'd like to do is, winding up the first hour, is just do a couple of introductions into what we probably should talk about in the second hour. We've talked about a lot of theory up to this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should get more into the practicality now of why people should be concerned about this fundamental transformation we've been promised. What does that mean? And then how did Marx say you should go about fundamentally transforming? And when he says that, he means from a capitalist society to a classless society. So we get rid of capitalism, which he said is the root of all evil, and you have to go to this total sharing, classless society with all equality. He realized that this probably wasn't going to come about through shootings and revolution. In fact, he said it has the best chance of coming about in the United States because of universal suffrage. What should the politicians be doing? What should government be doing to bring about this classless society? And we'll talk about very practical things. Is that okay?
Absolutely. That sounds great. And you know, the title of your book is My Grandchildren's America. So what is that America going to look like for our grandchildren? What will their life be like?
Well, we're standing on an interesting bubble, because at the end of the day, we don't want more of where we're, you know, where we are now. I mean, we don't need more people with Obama phones. It's just not going to work out. However, you know, Mitt Romney was probably a lot of people's, you know, he was down the list for a lot of folks.
Mm-hmm.
He would
he
not.
He was for me.
Yeah. He wasn't everybody's, oh, please run. You know, it was like, oh, no, that guy again. So obviously, you know, we're still not operating in, you know, I guess the zone that most conservatives would like to operate in. However, yeah. You know, I mean, we're kind of at any port in a storm, and at storm right there.
When we look at it honestly, and I always think that
gusty winds.
Look at it honestly, and you have to get away from party politics.
Yeah,
yeah.
And we know that Woodrow Wilson was a great proponent of Marxism. Ooh. We know that FDR was probably the premier proponent, and we understand that Obama is also very, very, very leans very heavily Marxist. In fact, I think he's a total Marxist. But that doesn't mean that there aren't Republicans.
Sure.
That's... That have also aided this. Reagan certainly did not. Reagan was very anti-Marxism. But we have to talk about it openly and honestly.
Well, and we have to continue. The only reason we're really even at this point, can you imagine if everybody would have just stayed asleep for the last 4 years?
Yeah.
And nobody got educated, nobody got active, you know, we wouldn't have had... We wouldn't have brought back the House
in
2010. You know, we wouldn't be looking at a major change because we wouldn't have enough people active and engaged.
Well, and you know, it's a certain generation that became active and engaged because we've seen this coming. Even through the Bush years, we saw this coming.
Oh yeah.
And then it and basically Obama took the Bush policies and put them on steroids. You know, he hasn't detoured away from a lot of those policies. He's actually put them on fast forward.
Yes. Yes. And yeah. And unfortunately, he had a Senate. I'm not sure what Mitch McConnell does. I really sometimes...
Maybe that's why we never hear about him.
No, there's no leadership there whatsoever. And I oftentimes think, what if Ellen West were the Speaker of the House as opposed to John Boehner? Or what if Rubio was the majority leader as opposed to Mitch McConnell? How much different would things be? Every time you compromise, you give up something, and we are driven. Every time we compromise, we give up something. We're driven closer and closer and closer to Marxism.
And that's the problem, I think, with a lot of times with moderates, is that they feel that they do need to compromise. I'm always a little concerned when somebody talks about reaching across the aisle. I get it that you don't want to have partisan gridlock, but you also can't give in all the time. That's why you have a two-party system, because you have two perspectives and you've got a checks and balance system. And sometimes that does require gridlock.
Yeah,
because somebody on one side needs to not give in.
Well, you have to have folks that are. Oh, here we go. Sorry, we are in the last 30 seconds here. It happens to us every time. It sneaks up on us so bad. All right, folks are going to have 5 minutes to get coffee, and you should probably listen to the news because it'll probably come up sometime in the next hour. So we're talking to Don Jans, mygrandchildrensamerica.com. We'll be right back with you on KCNR 1460 AM. Oh yeah, sorry Bob, I took your spot. Hit it.
No worries.
Joining We the People Radio with your hosts Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our engineer Bob Martin, and our guest today Don Jans of mygrandchildrensamerica.com. Hey, so during the break, we were chatting a little bit about the true cost of Obamacare and things that most people probably don't realize, and there are a lot of people that think that they are in a protected bubble, as you so eloquently put it, Aaron. And
I made that up. Don't try to use it.
I might. You know, I'm a plagiarist at heart. So, for instance, the 3.8% federal sales tax on the sale of your home
And that's based on an income of $250,000 adjusted gross income. That's before expenses, folks, not net. And it's not just based on what your income is. I mean, they're going to look at pretty much the whole package. And most people, if they sell their home and they make, you know, a decent amount and then add that to their income before their expenses, they're going to pay 3.8%. So do the math.
Exactly.
So you pay the realtor and then you pay 3.8% on top of that.
There's a ton of that
chunk of change.
And to go back to kind of where we were before the break, too, for all those people that are disenchanted with the Republican Party, I mean, I think a lot of conservatives are disenchanted with the Republican Party. However, there are a lot of people to work with on that side, mm-hmm. very few on the other side, mm-hmm. and not much in between. Mm-hmm. So, you know, by working with people who will work with us, we can move ahead. I mean, there are things like I was looking at the propositions again.
If Don doesn't mind, and Don, feel free to jump in if you want to talk about these at all.
Yeah, we don't have everybody in California. I mean, we have people outside of California that listen. So I'm sorry if this is does not apply to you. But
coming to a state near you soon, though.
Yeah.
As goes California, so goes the nation. Is that what they say?
Yeah. We're some evil trendsetters. The Prop 30, the very first one, Prop 30 is Jerry Brown's tax increase. So
okay, and here's the misnomer that we were talking about. Okay, so that's
going to go to schools.
Yeah, it's going to go to schools, which is not true. If you've actually read that bill, there's no guarantee. It goes into the general fund, and the legislature and the governor have the discretion to use the funds as they deem necessary. Okay, so if you really think, all you retired school teachers out there, think that this is going to save your retirement, or if you're an existing teacher and this is going to save your job, you really need to wake up.
You're delusional.
Okay, and secondly
where's the money really going to go?
Well,
the money from Jerry Brown's tax increase is really going to go
to the union,
to high speed rail.
Oh, is it going to high speed
rail? Yes. How do you think he's going to pay for it? Of course, it's going to high speed rail. Are you kidding me? Down in
of course, the work is being done by union workers.
And down in the Central Valley, mm-hmm. they're already stockpiling all the crap to build the high speed rail.
Yeah, they are starting.
So
to
where's
buy the
that
materials.
Money coming from? We're broke, right? We can't mm-hmm. pay for our schools. He's totally going
to road to nowhere.
Yeah, he's totally going to fund a high-cost rail.
And then there's it includes the 0.25% increase in sales tax and 1% income. Is it 1%?
Oh, it's just a bunch of stuff. Just say
half
no.
Half a percent, I think.
And then there's an increase in income tax for those making over $250,000 a year, adjusted gross, which means before expenses.
Seriously,
folks.
I'm not even looking at the detail because honestly, if you can't figure out that they're going to waste your money,
well,
I can't help you.
But there's this mindset: as long as it's not me and it's the other guy,
no,
I can look the other
you.
Way.
It's you.
But the
it's
thing
everybody.
Is, everybody thinks. I know a lot of people in their mind they're thinking, okay, if they're going to tax people who make $250,000 or more a year, well, that's not me. That's somebody that brings home a paycheck that ultimately makes them $250,000 a year. That is not what it is.
No.
There are so many small businesses out there that run their profits and losses through their personal income tax return. It's going to affect the small businesses. Let me give you some examples. I'm not speaking for these businesses. I'm just trying to make you understand that the businesses that are employing you may no longer be. Look at the grocery store chains, the coffee houses, like maybe Dutch Brothers. Maybe there's a string of auto repair shops. Maybe there is a company that owns 3 or 4 dry cleaners. There's a million small businesses out there that gross before expenses $250,000 a year.
So they fall into that tax. And then if they have over 50 employees, they're going to get hammered by Obamacare if we don't get that out of there.
And we all know that there's many, many, many large restaurant chains that have already begun and plan to reduce all of the hours of their workers to 28 hours a week because that is considered part-time. Mm-hmm. They will not be responsible for your health care.
There's a very, very, very basic rule in taxing. And if you look at history, and I always go back to history, where you people say we want to increase taxes to raise revenues. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Where you look at history, anytime a government has raised taxes and you look at the revenue year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, the gross revenue to that governing body has been decreased.
Of course, because there are fewer people being able to pay in because they have less money to buy stuff. So
That's right. So every time you lower taxes, what happens to the gross revenue of that governing body?
It goes up.
It goes up. So they say we want to increase revenues.
So we lower the taxes.
But they don't. They say we want to raise the taxes and increase, but it doesn't work, right?
Mm-hmm. Never has.
Well, you know what it kind of reminds me of?
You know what? Obama doesn't care. He doesn't care about the... I mean, what you're saying is entirely correct, and there are Democrats who have done the same thing, like Harry Truman and John Kennedy lowered
Absolutely.
Taxes to raise revenue, but Obama doesn't want to do it because it's not fair.
That's true, too.
Let's go back to that a minute, Bob. Why does he really want to do it? He has a reason for doing it.
Yeah, there's more to that puzzle. Okay.
Yeah, it's not about being fair. It's about destroying America.
Say no to tax increases. So let's move off that one, because Prop 31 in California is a huge misnomer. Prop 31 is on all of your Republican slates as a yes vote. Prop 31 should be a no vote for everything that we're talking about on this show. This is regional government. At the end of the day, it's a 2-year budget cycle, blah, blah, blah. None of that. They don't need a proposition for any of that. It's also being pushed by California Forward, who is not conservative, being pushed by a Frenchman, Nicolas Bergeron, or something like that. And when you look at his credentials, he is he calls himself a change agent and a global, doesn't say global government. What does he say? I'd have to look it up again. But anyway, he's a global government guy.
And if you don't understand regional government, imagine this. Right now, you can go to a city council meeting, any town, anywhere, and stand up and speak to an issue and possibly have impact over a decision. Regional government takes the decision-making power out of the hands of local government.
Which means
that the power to change what's happening to you gets further and further away.
Mm-hmm. Centralizing.
Yep. And regional government is totally a tool of everything Don is talking about. So please, uh-huh. No on 31. So if you're a slate voter, you know, but those mailers that come out that say they came from the policemen or they came from the Republicans or whatever, please read the fine print, because a lot of times that's not true.
May I go back and make a comment on that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, have a field day.
When we were established back in 1781, and then we went on to the 1786, what in fact was the primary goal of all of our founding fathers was to decentralize, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we doing now?
Centralizing.
And the reason they wanted to decentralize is to give the real power
to the
of
people.
Government to the people. And every time you centralize, you take more and more authority from the grassroots, from the people, and you put it into academics.
Okay, so regionalization, what does that fall under, Marxism or socialism?
Oh, a combination of both.
Yeah, I was going to say yes. It falls under yes.
There are no wrong answers.
Yeah, no on 31. Please tell your friends, do not assume people are going to get down into the weeds and spot this for what it is. I mean, they totally fooled I'm saying this kind of tongue-in-cheek, but they totally fooled the California GOP and mm-hmm. and had them supporting it.
Well, and
so.
It's like,
I say it straight up?
Yeah.
They lied to us.
Yeah, they totally lied to us.
Well, it's like, okay,
and they were being dopes, too.
And just real quick, and I know you want to move on to the next one, a real quick illustration. Let's say that you're having problems with your garbage service, and it's really easy to pick up the phone and call your local provider of that service, get the problem fixed, and move on. How would you like to have to call Sacramento because you're having problems with your garbage service?
And
how would you
hold for 30 minutes?
And how would you like to go through layers of bureaucracy because you have a problem with your garbage bill?
But see, it's better than that, because you have decisions coming out like the regional water, integrated regional water management plan. That's being done regionally. That's multiple counties. You have one elected person from each county that goes to this regional water management thing. Folks, this is meters on your wells. This is all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're not into that right now. You know, somebody's going to say, oh, she lied about that. Honestly, how hard is it once you develop a regional body to just push through stuff that nobody has a clue? Mm-hmm. It's meeting down in Willows, for heaven's sakes. How many people have time to do that?
Yeah, and this is your water.
This is your water.
They're going after
some real basic stuff with regional. Mm-hmm. So anyway, don't give them regional authority. No on 31. You've got 32. That's the defanging of the unions. You have all this, you know, it's going to hurt middle America, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you believe that.
And I don't understand how that would. And basically.
Because the only people in middle America are union workers.
Yeah. And that's
the rest
they,
of
that's
us don't
what,
count.
That's what they think. We're middle America, but apparently, you know, we're.
It's working America, too.
And we don't, and you don't unit, work.
We don't work.
The very basic unit of Marxism is the union. It is to Marxism what the family is to society.
Wow.
Wait, do that again. Okay. This just in. Prop 32. It's defanging the unions because.
The very basic unit of Marxism is the union. The union is to Marxism what the family is to society.
Ooh.
Nice.
Hey, and folks, if you want to defund the unions, I mean, really, if you're a union worker, by law, you can divert the dues that they take out of your paycheck and have them directed to a charity of your choice.
And I shouldn't say, because, yeah, we're not literally defunding the unions. If you want to put money into your union, because I realize that does things for people's pensions and people like that, and that's a good thing. I mean, you shouldn't be demonized for that. Sorry if we were
demonizing
earlier.
But if you don't like what they're doing with your dues.
With political contributions.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
All it talks about is the political contributions that are automatically deducted from union workers' paychecks.
And would you say none of us disagree with a group of people getting together to improve their working conditions?
Of course not.
There you go.
But when they get together to start... The bosses start to control government, then we have a problem with it. Is that fair?
Exactly. And well, you have a lot of people that are in the union that don't want their money going there. They're supporting candidates that they don't support. However, when you try to opt out and all that, then there are all sorts of other things that come into play, a lot of pressure and those sorts of things. So this would help the people who don't want to play into that system, and it makes it a level playing field. Because the rest of us, if we want to contribute to a candidate, we write a check.
Sure.
And they can do that,
too. And it's our decision as an individual.
Absolutely.
And
so
it
have
should
a field
be for them as well.
Fund your candidates. Do what you like. Bob's giving me the high sign. That was a biggie. And the other tax increase is 38. That's Molly Munger's, and it's so outrageous. I think most people will vote no on that. I would hope. I always tell my mom. My mom's always like, but honey, they need the money for schools. I'm like, Mom, don't give them any more money. They're going to waste it.
So what do you think her motivation is?
My mom's just nice.
No, Molly Munger.
Oh.
What's Molly Munger's motivation?
Yeah, faintest idea what your mother's motivation is.
No, she's just nice.
And as much as I'd love to dissect that, what about Molly Munger?
No, it's short. I don't know what Molly Munger's thing is. Well,
what's in it for her?
There's always a lot in it for everybody. And 40. 40 is a confusing one. 40 is a yes vote. We don't want to overthrow the precinct maps for the redistricting. That would have been great a while back because there was some issue there. But at this point, it's just going to cost everybody a lot of money. So
it would cause more problems than it solves.
Exactly. So yes on 40 is another one that's a little bit ambiguous. People are thinking, but I don't like the district I'm in. Just
and real quickly before break, what about 37? Let's talk about 37 very quickly because there's a lot of bad press on that.
Oh, the GMO one.
Yeah.
That, you know, honestly, that one, death penalty, those are personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't necessarily know that you can tell people how to vote on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people feel like our food should be labeled. We should know what's in it. Other people say, well, it's going to cost everybody a lot of money. The lady who wrote the initiative said she, you know, they specifically had things in there to prevent lawsuit abuse. But if you read the information on it, it says, no, it will create lawsuit abuse. So I think at that point, it's kind of a judgment call for folks.
Yeah.
I know most people that heard the woman who wrote the initiative, I think 99% of the people voted. When we did that at a meeting, they voted to support the GMO labeling initiative because they felt that really it was time. There's enough going on there with the chemicals, and it's not going to label all the sub stuff. So if you have cornstarch in a product, you don't have to figure out where the corn came from.
Yeah.
It's just if they're corn chips, you need to know.
Yeah, and if you do look at who's behind the opposition, like Monsanto and Dow Chemical Corporation, I mean, that gives you cause for concern. And the death penalty thing, you know, if they're on, you know, if they get put away for life instead of having the death penalty, it's still going to cost us a fortune to pay for those folks over the course of their lifetime. So
yeah, and that's 34. So, well, this is all.
Yeah, their argument is we need to do away with the death penalty because it costs too much money to keep these people on death row. Well, if we would
say it, Bob,
dispose of them in a timely and expeditious manner,
It wouldn't be a problem.
Wouldn't cost us all that money.
There's the answer.
Do you have a guillotine sound effect? It's the best I got for you.
Are you saying, Bob, in respect, we don't have a death penalty in California?
We have a stall.
Wouldn't know it, would you?
No, it's no. Just...
We have the threat of...
It's a slow dance.
Yes.
All right, folks, we got to take a real quick break and thank our advertisers. We hope you will come back to hear more from Don Jans. We seriously are talking about Marxism and socialism when
we come back. We're done.
Yeah, we're done beating the propositions to death. You're here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
Imagine there's no heaven. If you try, no hell below us, above us only sky.
White ones and red ones,
some you can't disguise. Twist the truth and half the news, can't hide it in your eyes.
We're back. Hey, we're with Don Jans of My Children's America. Very quickly, before we get back to Don, if you want to follow up on the propositions and see how conservatives are voting on those, go to 24hourpatriots.com or readingteaparty.com.
Click on 2012 elections, and there's a proposition link, and you've got a lot of choices of whose opinions you want to look at.
By the way, we had one listener we thoroughly confused. Just to clarify, Aaron, we want them to vote yes on 32, or that's what you're recommending.
Yes.
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 Okay.
See. No, yes. 30, 31, 32 is a no, yes. No, yes.
Okay, Don, before we get completely off track, take her away. Tell us in practical terms what it's going to look like for our grandchildren's America.
Okay. What the society theoretically would look like is everybody would go to work. They'd have choices as to where they wanted to work. They would go to work, and they would be of the type of people, I don't know how it's going to come about, but theoretically they would be the type of people that would love going to work. They would be enthusiastic because this would be their whole life. Everything that they wanted to do would be going to work to contribute to society. They would go, they would perform. They would do what they were going to do. They would go home. At the end of the week, they would receive a certificate. They would receive a certificate based on their needs as to how large their family was, as to other maybe medical needs they might have. That's how they would be paid. Let's use an analogy. We have the Los Angeles Lakers. We have Kobe Bryant, who works extremely hard. He's the star of the team. Well, you guys are Sacramento. Bear with me. I'm in L.A.
We're sorry.
He's a star.
Yeah. We have no stars on the Kings.
Okay. He's the star of the team. He gets paid the most under a capitalistic system. Under the system of Marxism, he would get paid as the same as the person who directs the traffic coming into the parking lot. Except that if Kobe Bryant had his wife and two kids, and the parking lot attendant had a wife and six kids, the parking lot attendant would actually have a bigger paycheck.
Hmm.
And they both would be happy.
In a perfect world.
Because they're required to be happy.
In a Marxist utopia.
You will be happy.
In a Marxist utopia, they both would be happy. That's the way, that's the Marxist world.
Wow. Okay, so do you think that...
Just to demonstrate how far-fetched that concept is.
Yeah.
So do you think would Kobe Bryant play as well under that scenario as he currently does?
Of course, in a perfect
world.
According to Marx,
he would even play harder.
Oh, yes.
Because he wants to make sure that he pays for the other guy's four extra kids.
He's contributing.
Mm. That's right. It's a big feel-good.
Just as long as Shaquille O'Neal wasn't one of those other guys.
Just a giant feel good.
You can see from a practical standpoint, human nature does not allow that to work. It's never worked. So truly what we would have is we would have a chaotic situation, not that much different from what you saw in the earlier days and the days of Brezhnev under the, in the Soviet Union, or what you saw in South Korea. You have a totally dysfunctional society.
A dystopia.
A dystopia, absolutely.
How about spaztopia? I like that.
And you have what happens in those types of societies is that, and Marx knew this. He said this is okay. He said this is good. Rather than having people growing things like Carnegie did, remember Carnegie, where he learned how to use steel and he made a tremendous amount of money, but he made the lives of everybody throughout the world much easier because of the rail system, the bridges, and all these things he built. He made a lot of money, but everybody else made more, and everything became better. Just like Ford. Ford made a tremendous amount of money, but Ford also enabled everybody else to make more money, and all of society, especially in the United States, had better living conditions. That's what capitalism does. Communism, Marxism drives living conditions down by the very nature.
So it's kind of interesting because there's been a huge rise in readership of Ayn Rand's works, and she must be their greatest nightmare.
I'm sure she is. She's a very easy read, too.
Yeah.
She is an easy read if you have logic. But see, the people that think that everybody who plays in the basketball tournament needs a trophy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See those people
just
find
for participating.
Well, no one wins.
No, but just for participating.
I like the games. It was when my kids were just getting out of junior high. They were starting in with, let's just not keep score. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But the kids keep score.
And the parents are. Are you kidding me? The parents are up there elbowing each other and shoving each other off the bleachers, you know.
because that's who we are.
Exactly. We're just wired that way.
Okay, so everybody goes to work, supposedly doing what they love, and they're completely motivated by the fact that they get to contribute to society.
Yeah.
Now, we all know that at the end of the day, that doesn't work. So where does that road take us at the end of the day?
It takes us to a North Korea.
Chaos.
Yikes. That's scary.
The only place that idea has ever taken us is to a North Korea or a Soviet Union during the days of say even Brezhnev, where you, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Russia, but you go, if you have, it's well worth going, and you see people, you see the older generation, and they walk around almost in a daze, their eyes are glazed, and then you see the younger generation that has been under that came up through a little bit of capitalism, and you see vibrance in them. You see they're excited. You see their eyes are wide open. They're alert. And I talked to one of the people. I had a guide while I was there, and I talked to him, and he said he remembers those days, those later days of communism, and he said this is the way all of society was. You just become almost non-existent. That's all you do is exist. You have no life. And that's the society under which we're going.
So how close are we to that?
At the top of the news, Obama said, and we have to remember what he said in 2008. He said, I'm about to begin a fundamental transformation in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to lead you, I'm sorry, in a fundamental transformation in the United States. Just at the top of the news, he was talking and he said, we begin our change. If you reelect me, we can finish our change. But he doesn't talk about what that change really
no.
is. I think we're that close. I think we are that close. He has implemented and is implementing. And remember what he told Medvedev at the when the mic was open, and he said, tell Vladimir that I can do what I need to do after the election.
I'll have more flexibility. Yeah, he's
going
to be a yoga instructor after,
Remember, both FDR, Wilson, and Obama have totally ignored the Constitution when it didn't meet their needs. What they have done is they have used executive orders, and they've ruled many times under executive order. And we see that happening more and more and more with Obama.
Well, geez Louise, has what? I just read that the other day, 923 George Bush...
executive orders.
Yeah, executive orders. And George Bush...
he had 100 and something.
No, he had 32.
Oh, 32.
Yeah, on the list I was looking at. And I mean, there were guys with one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. Clinton
and then
had...
go back and look at Roosevelt. Yeah. Roosevelt operated under executive order. And
pardon me for my my lack of history, but did he serve one or two terms?
Roosevelt?
Yeah.
He actually was elected four times.
Yikes.
And then when did we decide that wasn't cool?
That's right.
Oh, right after that, right after.
Okay, that was the end of that. That's what I thought. No. The end of an era.
Passed a constitutional amendment that would not allow for that again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course, it was turning into a checkers game. King me.
Let's go back a minute and talk about how this change that we've been promised, how is it coming about and where is it being implemented today? Okay?
Yeah. That was kind of I was going to say let's look at what we're looking at and show it for what it is right after we thank our advertisers for 2 minutes. Except for a segue. Sorry, Don. We'll be right back with you.
Okay.
We're talking to Don Jans. We're talking about My Grandchildren's America here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media. Oprah's singing these days.
For all of those that vote back in what we've just gone through, you have only yourselves to blame, and watch out because we'll be blaming you too.
I was going to say, I'm going to blame them.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're with Don Jans of My Children's America. So, Don, we're talking about exactly how our fundamental transformation is being implemented today.
Okay. Fundamental transformation, let's redefine that. Changing from a capitalist society to a fair and just classless society. Okay. Primarily, one of the main things you have to have is you have to have class warfare.
I was thinking you were going to have Michelle Obama pick all of our outfits out for us.
Or did they put Joe Biden in as vice president?
He makes a good point. Obama is classless.
Joe Biden is the one that is going to get us used to no class. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry about that.
See what happens?
See, we're falling all over each other to tell the same joke.
Because remember, the capitalist, what Marx called the bourgeoisie, they're the root of all evil. So you have to demonize them. You have to get rid of them, essentially. He said you have to get rid of them, so it's just the working class. How do you do this? You demonize them. The one percenters, the corporate jet owners, the millionaires and billionaires. We see class warfare in this administration every day. Two, and I want to really talk, and that's self-evident, I think. But there's three areas that I'd really like to be able to touch on, we'll try to do all three before the end of the hour: the military, the national debt, and taxes. Let's talk about the military for a minute. What Marx knew is that the military would stop this transformation. So he said, the military has to be systematically dismantled. How do you systematically dismantle the military? You transfer funds that should go to fund the military, and you take them and you put them into social programs. What is happening today?
Mm-hmm.
The military is being truly systematically dismantled. Marx went on, and this leads to a couple of other areas. Marx went on to say, you will not need the military. It won't matter anyway, because why do we have the military? We have the military to protect our borders and to protect aggression of other nations against us. He said, you won't need the military to protect your borders because under my fair and just classless society, all workers will have and should have the right to move over any national border they wish at any point in time for work. So anybody can go into any country, no passport, no restrictions, you just go as you wish. You won't need the military to protect you against outside forces coming in to take control you, because all workers will have a stronger allegiance to the United International Workers Union than they will to any nationality. And all of the soldiers, and he used the Tsar and the Kaiser. He said that the soldiers of the Kaiser will not take up arms against the soldier of the Tsar because they are, first of all, brothers. And way down the list, do they have allegiance to the Tsar or to the Kaiser? So we here in America would not fight the people of Iran, and the people of Iran would not fight us as people. It's just totally impractical. But we see what has been happening to our military, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how are they dismantling our military?
They're defunding it.
And where is the money going that they would have been putting into the military?
Obama phones.
AmeriCorps.
Is it exactly what Mark said?
Yeah, social stuff to throw a little bit out there, and it's just weird.
What is Obama saying about our borders?
Hmm.
We don't protect them. Let workers come and go as they please.
Yeah.
So we see him following that right to a T. In national debt, and people, I wish people understood this, but we know for a fact that national debt has been the destruction of many, many, many a powerful country, where you allow your debts to overtake you because you can't pay the bills. You can't, or you have to put so much currency into the economy to pay the national debt that you have hyperinflation. And both of those result in the breaking of contracts and a breakdown of society. Marx knew this, and he said, there will be people who will say this. Nancy Pelosi calls us radical extremists, that we will say the national debt is the biggest threat to our security. Marx said, that's good. You raise that national debt as fast and as high as you can, because it will cause a disruption. It will cause a crisis. And when that crisis comes about, that will enable us, the Marxists, to gain even more political power and to move our fundamental transformation that much closer from a capitalist society to a classless, a fair and just classless society. What did Obama promise us in his campaign of 2008? Didn't he say that
transform.
He would reduce the national debt, the growth of the national debt, by one half in his first four-year term?
Yeah, he did.
And what has he done?
He's doubled it.
And right now, we are on a pace to, if he is reelected, our national debt will be at probably well over $20 trillion.
And there's no coming back from that.
I just want you to know, Elizabeth got all those answers correct, but half of those are going to be credited to me.
Okay.
So just in case you were thinking Elizabeth was getting all those right, that's actually half of those were mine.
Okay, so
we need to spread the credit around.
Oh, I'm sorry, a third of them.
Hey, and I don't want to get you off track, but you know.
Oh, no, God forbid.
But the media and the entertainment industry play a big role, and they are playing a really big role in his reelection campaign.
Yeah.
What do they stand to gain or lose by doing that? Because, let's face it, they are wealthy.
Yes. I don't think they stand to gain or lose anything. I think what they are is they are self-imposed tutelage. And I don't know whether many of them suffer from intellectual insufficiency or if they just don't have the will or the courage to enlighten themselves. They remember who the media primarily are. They're pseudo intellects. And being a pseudo intellect, I want to go along with whom I think is smart and bright, so I appear to be smart and bright. They don't understand. If I believe that this is going to be this magical, wonderful world, and everything, we're all going to be as one with the absolute spirit, as Hegel said. Oh, what a great and grand... We're all going to be in heaven. And we all want to be in heaven. The problem is, if they were to delve into it and truly study history and truly study what it is, you have to come to only one conclusion. It cannot, it never has, and it will not work.
Mm-mm. But what happens to them at the end of the day? Let's say all these celebrities that have $20 million homes and they're all jumping on the bandwagon... if you're really going to redistribute wealth, will their wealth be redistributed as well?
Probably not in their lifetime. That's a really, really great question. I don't know.
I just really want to see that happen to them. That's why I'm asking.
I don't know how quickly that would really take place, but it would be self-justice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, you have to wonder. You know, people who
signed up to
make their
own. I just wondered if they were buying
own
protection.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
But when you listen to most of them talk, when you hear,
I try
them,
not to, but
they are totally impractical. They are very, very, very. They're living in a completely different world from reality. And of course, I guess if you sing a song and you get paid, $5 million, I guess you can live in a non-real world.
Mm-hmm.
They don't go to work like we do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they're not surrounded. You know, when you live in, because there are a lot of places in California, you go there and you don't see anybody who's losing their house. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's standing on a street corner with a sign.
No. I mean, it's, I can give you some options in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you just.
And they would much sooner invite Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden out to talk to him than me.
I don't get it.
That's
strange, strange.
That's totally screwed up.
Yes.
Do we have to fit in one more break?
Because
we have been remiss. We were goofing off. We've been remiss. We only have to fit in 3 an hour, and somehow we just get off track. Daylight savings time is a total burden. We'll be right back with you. Thank our advertisers who did build their businesses. 2 minutes at KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding, the home of Free Fire Media.
You did remember to change your clocks, didn't you, ladies and gentlemen?
Back.
We hope so.
Not forward.
Please remember to change your president on Tuesday.
Obama phone?
Yes, everybody in Cleveland, low minority, got Obama phone. Keep Obama in president, you know. He gave us a phone.
He gave you
he
a phone?
More.
How did he give you a phone?
You sign up, you on food stamps, you on Social Security, you got low income, you disability.
I have a question. Okay, what's wrong with Romney again?
Romney, he sucks. Hey.
On hold, to say the least, the cat was cold. He said, don't call us, child, we'll call you.
You breathe and you get a phone. You breathe, you get anything. Hey, welcome back to We the People Radio.
We're
with Don Jans of my grandchildren's America. Hey, Don, we got about 7 minutes. Why don't you wrap it up and be sure to give us some contact information, your website, where to find the book, and in advance,
and the number to your Obama phone, just so we can call you when the system breaks down.
First of all, I'll touch on where they can get the book. It's My Grandchildren's America. If they Google that, if they Google Don Jans or My Grandchildren's America, it will show them where to get it. Amazon. It's also on Kindle on Amazon. Or they can go to my website, www.mygrandchildrensamerica.com, and order it directly from me. Why would they want to do that? Because they would then learn many of these fundamental transformation projects that are going on. We've talked about military, dismantling of the military. We've talked about national debt. There's many, many others. There's also taxes. Marx did understand taxes. And he also knew, as we all know, that when you lower marginal rates and you lower effective tax rates, revenue to the government has always increased. It has never failed. Never failed. When you raise marginal taxes and you raise effective tax rates, it has always reduced revenues to the government. So you don't raise taxes, as Obama has been trying to say, as the Marxists have always said, to raise revenue. You raise it for the reasons Marx said to raise taxes. Marx talked about a steeply progressive income tax long before the United States ever had one. He said you raise taxes for two purposes, to spread the wealth and to punish the financially aggressive, or those people who truly are looking for financial gain because they're bad people. And that's the reason you raise the taxes. John F. Kennedy, who was a Democrat, understood that that doesn't work. He lowered taxes in the revenues, and the economy just boomed. Marx also said, and I heard Debbie Wasserman Schultz the other day repeat these words almost verbatim.
I don't like her. She has bad hair.
No, and her hair is
and she has scary teeth.
Yeah. She said on a nationally
she's intellectually insufficient.
You must have a 100% death tax or estate tax. This comes directly out of the Communist Manifesto, written by Karl Marx and Engels. She said the reason you must do that is because the money was never earned by the children. It does not belong to the heirs, and it's not theirs. It is the state's.
Wow.
This is verbatim Marx.
That's why she has shark teeth.
Jeez.
No fooling. Anybody really out there having a problem with that?
She probably got cut out of her inheritance.
Oh, there you go. Bitterness. That'll always do it. Bob, we have a question, right?
Somebody
called in.
Billy Bob and Palisadro, in our remaining moments, wanted to know, two things, really. Is there any way to correct this problem, and is going to the courts and trying to litigate our way out of it an option, kind of like the left does?
Those are obviously, the last one is truly an opinion on my part, and I would say no, the courts are not the way to go. Because the courts rule, courts rule many times for Marxism. The courts no longer follow the Constitution. How do we get out of this? We have to start taking control of elections. We have to become enlightened. We can no longer dwell under the easy self-imposed tutelage so many people have dwelled before. And just to, truthfully, I have many people tell me, Don, I read your book. I understand what is going on. You must enlighten yourself. You must understand the propositions we talked about earlier. Those all go along the route of Marxism. So much of what is taking place that we think is just common now is not. It's Marxism. And we must change. We must vote for people who will fight the system and not just go along to get along. That's my. Oh, one other thing. When you're talking to other people about Marxism, don't use the words communist, because most people think of communist in a very negative way, and they say there are no communists in America. You must talk about things like, why do we raise taxes? Why are we dismantling the military? You must know about what you're speaking, so that you don't have to use all those really, really negative buzzwords that turn people off, and people never, ever will listen to you when you use those buzzwords.
Oh, that's a good point. Besides, it's always easy for people to refute that, because most of us don't have enough direct knowledge to counteract that. But when you
enlighten ourselves.
Good one. Well, on wethepeopleradio.us, the website that has all of the show archives and all that, people can go there. Don's information is there. His website is linked. And later on today, sometime, I'm not sure when, but later on, the archive of this program will be listed there. So you can actually just send this show to other people, have them listen, read. The link for the book is there and all that. So.
And Don, will you have a link to this show on your website as well?
Yes, I will.
Great.
Good answer.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a real, real pleasure.
Thank you for playing along.
Yeah, you must have known what you were getting yourself into.
You've been playing We the People Radio today.
All right. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you. I really enjoyed myself, and I hope we've enlightened just a few people.
Oh, we enjoyed having you.
We have. Say it again, Bob, the part about changing your clock. Come on, do it. It's my favorite part.
All right. But wanted to mention, in honor of the topic today, we featured music by Lennon and Marx, John Lennon and Richard Marx, Casey and R. Shasta Redding.